Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1. First chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word together, John's Gospel, chapter number 1. We commence reading at verse number 6. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. There was a man sent from John, or God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will help me to preach. Thou will help me, our God, that in all things that the name of Christ will be honored and glorified in this meeting. And Father, we pray that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou hast ordained to save them that believe. And to this end, we leave this service in thy hand. Go before us, cover us in the precious blood as we minister the word of God, and so fill us with thy Holy Spirit that the voice of God may be heard, and that many may run to Christ tonight and be saved for all eternity. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. It says in verse number 11 and 12, it says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And his own received him not. You know what a joy it would be tonight if we could honestly say that every person in this gathering was gloriously and wonderfully saved and were sure of heaven. That if you and I were to be called away tonight, that we could honestly say concerning every man and woman and every young person, it would be to be absent from the body, it would be present indeed with the Lord. Friend, the reality is this, that is not so. There are those who have come to God's house tonight and you're not saved. You're not on your way to heaven. You still are bound by your sin. You still are rejecting the blessed Son of God. We walk the streets of our towns and our villages, and we see that there are multitudes that daily live, and sadly they daily die without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus in the book of John's Gospel in the chapter 8, he acknowledged even to those that he was speaking to, that was a reality. For in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus said, again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. And he says, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. In verse 24, he said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sin, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And once again, and over again, we find the Savior emphasizing this thought to the hearers that were listening to him that day. He said, ye shall die in your sins. In other words, die a Christ rejecter. What an awful thing. What an awful tragedy that men and women would dare to live, yea, and even dare to die without the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus said in verse 21 of John's Gospel, chapter 8, he says, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sin. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, ye cannot come. They were absolutely ignorant to what the Savior was talking about. And the reality is tonight, that there are multitudes that are living and multitudes are dying. And spiritually speaking, they have an ignorance of the things of God. They cannot know, they cannot see God's plan and God's way of salvation. It says in John chapter 1, he was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him. And yet it says this, and the world knew him not. The very creator of this world, the one who spake this world into being, friend, the one who said, let there be light, and immediately there was light, it says this, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. But he said the world knew him not. So it is tonight there are multitudes that are living in ignorance of the things of God and dying in their sin. And where Christ is, they will never be. And then the Lord Jesus said this. Not only he was in the world, he said this, verse 11, he came unto his own. But he says, and his own received him not. What I want to talk to you tonight is just those thoughts and those words, received him not. I want to talk about Christ's rejection. Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Why they did not receive him, why they did reject him. There are three simple thoughts I want to leave with you tonight. First of all, it's the seriousness of Christ's rejection. And then secondly, there is the substance of Christ's rejection. And then there's the sadness of Christ's rejection. They received him not. The seriousness of Christ's rejection. You know, when you and I go to a door of somebody's house or speak to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and we witness for the Lord, and we tell people their need of God's salvation, to be honest, quite often, whether it be in the doorstep or whether it be in a gospel meeting or whether it be friends, perhaps just in conversation, we find a people that are totally indifferent to the things of God. It says, and his own received him not. There was a lack of concern. There was a lack of concern and acknowledgement of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a man in the scriptures, and his name is called Gallio. And it says this concerning Gallio. He said he cared for none of those things. And it's very possible that someone's sitting in this meeting tonight. And friend, that sums you. You have come to the meeting perhaps because of somebody inviting you. Perhaps maybe a mother or a father. Maybe because of a son or a daughter. And you have come to the meetings. And maybe you've sat in gospel meeting after gospel meeting. And maybe, friend, you like the singing and you enjoy the company of the people here. But friend, as far as Christ is concerned, you don't care about him. As far as your soul's salvation is concerned, it is very possible that you could die this week, friend, and you could die as Jesus said. You can die in your sin, and where Christ is, you will never be. But as far as your soul is concerned, and as far as eternity is concerned, you're totally indifferent to Christ. You know, there are many people tonight, and when you talk to them about the Savior, and especially the men on the doorsteps will know there are people. And let me tell you, friend, whenever they realize that you're there with a Bible in your hand or you're there to tell them about Jesus, they say, listen, don't bother me. I don't want to be bothered. Because as far as Christ is concerned, friend, and their soul, they don't want to be bothered with Jesus Christ. They have a don't bother me attitude. But there's something even deeper than that. There is not only an attitude where don't bother me, not today and some other day, but there is a contempt for the things of God. They have an anger, yea, even a hatred of the things of God. Surely that person must realize, where did I come from? They must realize, let me tell you, they have some, especially in Ulster here, they have some upbringing of Bible knowledge. Especially the older generation, they have heard perhaps in an earlier day God's way of salvation, or perhaps they remember the old hymns and songs of Zion they used to sing, perhaps on a mother's knee, or maybe the little children's meeting. Friend, even though they are bound to think, listen, where am I going? I could be away in a moment, out in God's eternity, and where would I be? Listen, but they have a hatred for the things of God. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. He came on to his own, but his own received him not. They hated the Son of God, friend. And one day they put him to a cross of Calvary. I want you to turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 53 here. In that great chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, I want you to notice here the seriousness of rejecting Christ. Because just read what the Word of God says. Go to verse 1. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Then it says this, look at verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men." You see, he came on to his own, and his own received him not. It said he is despised. Now the word there, despised, means to scorn. It means to view contemptuously and contemptibly. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. It means they looked down on Christ. They didn't want to be bothered with this man. And friend, to be honest, it's easy for you to read those words, but friend, let me tell you, there's people sitting in this meeting. And where is Jesus in your life, friend? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? It says this, "He is despised." They wanted the Lord to have absolutely no part in their lives. And let me tell you, that's how man's living today. They don't want God to have any part in their lives. They just want to believe that they're on the scene of time and they're going to have a good time while they're here, and then they're going to die, and sure, that will be the end, and they'll go to the grave like a dog. Notice what it says here. Because in that same verse, it says, "He is despised." Go to the end of the verse. "He was despised." And that means, friend, it happened in the past. And it's still happening. And friend, to be honest before God, that's how some of you are living. Because night after night you've heard the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ and you have despised him. You have rejected him. You have scorned the Savior. You have walked away from him as if he didn't count. As if the call of his grace and mercy to your soul didn't matter. And that's how you've lived your life in the past. And you've sat in meeting after meeting, and you've walked out and after gospel appeals and gospel invitations. And it says, listen, he was despised. That's how you've lived in the past. But listen, it says he is despised. That's how you're living in the present. What an awful thing to treat the Lord Jesus Christ contemptibly. As if the Savior and the shedding of his blood, friend, means absolutely nothing to you. But notice, this is the seriousness of Christ's rejection. Because it not only says he is despised, it says this, he is rejected of man. Yes, what does that mean? It speaks of something destitute or vacant. They had simply no thought of Christ. They were totally indifferent to him. They were without a desire for him. Rejected of men. Now when I look at that word, rejected, for you to reject something, friend, be quite honest, you're first of all to look at it. It's not that you haven't been faced with it. No, you have been faced with it. You have examined it. You have looked at it. And then after doing so, then you've rejected it.
And I believe in this service tonight, there are people sitting here, friend, to be honest, there have been times that God has spoken to your heart. There have been times that the Spirit of God has really challenged you concerning your need of salvation. There have been times, yea, even you've been near the kingdom. And as far as your soul is concerned, friend, you have been concerned in days that are past because the Spirit of God has been working upon your heart. And there's been a holy concern in your soul about your need of Jesus Christ. Yes, you have examined the way. And you know the way. But you've rejected the way. You said, not for me. Or maybe, not tonight. Some other time. Some other meeting. Meaning, just before you die. Because you want to live for sin and you want to live for self. Friend, listen, this is the seriousness of Christ's rejection. He is despised. You say to me, preacher, but listen, I don't scorn at Christ. Listen, I've been singing the hymns tonight. And I must be honest, I like to sing the hymns. I've been listening. I followed the reading of God's word. And I like the preacher to open God's word. Listen, my friend. You say, well, listen, I haven't despised the Son of God. I'm not scorning him. And I'm not talking contemptibly about the Lord Jesus Christ. You are rejecting him. That's what you've done, friend, up to this present moment. You've rejected him. He has called, but you have not answered. He has stretched out his hand in love and mercy and grace, but you have refused. That's rejection. You have rejected the blessed Son of God. And it speaks of destitute, because that's what you are. Friend, you are destitute. You are without hope. You are as a vacant thing. And you have looked on Christ as if he is nothing. Nothing. You have walked under your foot the precious blood of the blessed Son of God. Just keep your hand there a moment. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. You know the story. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, it tells a story about the man there Matthew chapter 22, rather. Matthew chapter 22. It tells a story about the kingdom of heaven, verse number 2, is like unto a certain king. He made a marriage for the son, and so he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. And tell them all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Not hear the appeal of the king. Look at verse 5. They made light of it. They made light of it. And friend, let me tell you this. Is it not true that you can leave gospel meetings in all the solemnity of a gospel service where men and women are standing at the very doorway of death and eternity, yea, of hell itself? And no sooner does the preacher say amen, listen, you can enter into a conversation about the world. And as far as Christ is concerned, you just made light of it. They made light of it. And they went their ways. That's exactly what the sinner's doing. They're going their ways. Now, they're not taking God's way. Jesus says, I am the way. But they're not wanting Jesus. They don't want God's way. No, they go their ways. One to his farm and another to his mercy. Yes, you've gone back to the world, friend. Maybe you sat under the gospel meeting last Sunday evening and you went back to the world all week. and God wasn't in your thoughts or in your heart or in your mind, because you have despised the offering of God's Son and you have rejected the claims of the gospel. It says they made light of it. It simply means that they did not want to take the invitation seriously. Friend, I honestly believe tonight, if you only thought, sinner, of how serious life and death is, if you could only take it in and grasp it, listen, that in a moment you could be out in God's eternity. I was talking to our brother Sandy this week, and we thank God for what the Lord has done in our brother Sandy's body. But friend, let me tell you this. When our brother Sandy was sitting reading the paper on Monday evening, and then all of a sudden, let me tell you, his wife thought he was stooping down to lift something off the floor. He wasn't. All he was doing was just dropping over. Hit the floor like that. And her brother can tell you, he said this to me. He says, "Brother, I always thought that somehow you'd feel a pain or some warning, something would be there." Let me tell you, friend, he never felt a thing. He just healed over. Unconscious. Listen, friend, you could heal over. Listen, the boy was standing in the football field yesterday. And he heals over too. Pray that God will reach him for Jesus. For his life has been spared to this moment, that someone will reach him and tell him the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend. But let me tell you, just in a moment, you don't have to feel those pains. You can just go out like that. And one moment in time, laughing. And the next moment, in eternity, in hell. That's how serious it is. And by the very fact that you can leave gospel meeting after gospel meeting, friend, and not be saved, it says, you're making light of it. In other words, you're not taking God seriously. I pray tonight that God, by His Holy Spirit, will awaken you, sinner. Take God seriously. He's not playing games. Eternity's real. Heaven's real. But so's hell. In a moment, you can be taken from time into God's eternity. Tell me, what does Isaiah say? He says, he is despised and he's rejected of men. And then it says this, verse 3 of Isaiah 53. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Anybody ever come to the door, friend? And you haven't got a glance at them, and you didn't want to see them. And what did you do? You went and hid somewhere until they got away. And they rang the bell, and they rang the bell, and they rang the bell. But you hid until they got away because you didn't want to see them. The Bible says this, he was despised and he was rejected of men, but it says, we hid, as it were, our faces. It simply means this, they ignored him. And in not doing it, hiding their faces, you know what they're doing? They weren't willing to face up to the claims of Jesus. And there's some of you running tonight. It's not that you don't know you need to be saved. You know all that. But you refuse to face up to what happened at Calvary. And you try to put it out of your mind. And you hide your face from him as you reject him. And you despise him. I suggest to you tonight, that's the seriousness of rejection. He came on to his own, but his own received him not. But then secondly, very quickly, what's the substance of rejection? It says his own received him not. People ask me, you know, why did they do this awful thing? Why, whenever he came to his people, why did they not receive him with open arms? The one who made them, the one who gave them life, the one who gave them breath. Why did they reject him? Why did they despise him? Why did they hide their face from him? That poses another question. Why are you doing it? Oh, it's easy to talk about them. Why are you doing it? Why are you rejecting him? He came unto his own. His own received him not. Why would they do such a thing? Well, of course, the Bible tells us the God of the world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And you see, friend, they are blind to their situation. People say to me, I can't understand. Why do unconverted people go out of gospel meetings, my, where there's a deep sense of the Lord's presence and a fear of God upon the place? Why do they go out? How can they do it? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in. The God of this world, the devil, friend, he has blinded your minds. He has got your minds on other things. He has got you caught up in other things. He wants to think. He wants you to think about other things instead of Christ. Why did he come? He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They didn't wonder, why did he come? They didn't want him. So what was the substance of their rejection, friend? Simply this, first of all, they rejected his words. Notice the opening verse there in Isaiah 53. Who have believed our report? They rejected the report that God has given. You see, God promised to send a son. In Genesis chapter 3, there was a promise of the Savior. But man rejected it. Man chose his own way instead of God's way. They rejected the words of Christ. And men and women are still rejecting God's word today. They want the counsel of man. We were talking about this morning in the meeting. And whenever Judah was in trouble, instead of listening to God and seeking the face of God and seeking the counsel of God, no, they sought the counsel of man. They sought the confidence of man. God's very clear tonight. There is only one way of salvation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, you may have religion to the ears, but if you're not saved tonight, you're lost. If you are not in Christ, then you're without Christ. If you are not saved, then you are bound for a lost eternity. For Christ is the only way of God's salvation. But you have rejected God's report. They rejected his word. Secondly, they rejected his work. Notice what it says in Isaiah 53 again. And I think the words here give us the seriousness of the problem. It says there, he was wounded for our transgressions. We have transgressed the law of God. We have broken the law of God. Our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. There's the problem, friend. What is it? Sin. Sin's the problem. Notice what sin does. What's the consequences of sin? What does it say there in verse 4? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Because I guarantee you tonight, listen, sin brings grief and sin brings sorrow. That's the consequences of sin. You know, when Adam was in the garden, God said to Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God says, there's a consequence. And he didn't see the seriousness of the consequence, friend. He took his own way instead of God's way. And Eve took of that forbidden fruit, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat. And their eyes were open, and they saw they were naked. And then they had children. And God gave them Cain. And they rejoiced together. Let me tell you, sin brings sorrow. And as Eve looked upon that little boy, she says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Little did she know, he'd break her heart. That's what he did, friend. He broke his mother's heart. And friend, that's what sin will do to every man and woman. Sin will break your heart. Griefs. Sorrows. The consequences of sin. But thank God, God didn't stand back. God provided a Savior. And oh, that you tonight would remember what God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, listen, God did not stand back from what you and me in our sin, because it says, if go to verse number 12 of Isaiah chapter 53, and it says this, in the middle of the verse, he was numbered with the transgressors. He came into the world. He took upon him the form of a man in order that he might die for us. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? Ah, yes. And it tells us in verse 12, he bare the sin of many. See, there's what men and women are rejecting, friend. The one who died in the sinner's place, the one who died as our substitute, in our stead, in our guilty room. But the sinner doesn't see it that way. They despise him. They reject him. Hide their face from him. As if he didn't come. They reject his word. They reject his work. They reject his worth. Because notice what it says in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. Here it is. And we esteemed him. The word there is to evaluate. To reckon up of value. And when they looked on Christ, friend, they saw no value in him. No benefit to them. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Thank God, to those who are saved tonight, he's precious.
The ungodly esteem not the Savior of any value, but praise God, to those who are saved, the Savior's precious. He was precious to Saul of Tarsus when his life was changed on the Damascus Road. He was precious to the Philippian jailer when that night all hope was gone and he was about to kill himself. And that night he was led to Christ and he jumped in and he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He was precious to Jairus and his daughter. For the weak girl was in the throes of death. And thank God the Savior healed her. He was precious to the woman taken in adultery that they were about to stone. And they mocked her because of her sin. But thank God Jesus forgave her that night. He said, "Go and sin no more." He was precious to Nicodemus. He was precious to the woman in Simon's house. He was precious to the man among the tombs. Listen, unto us who believe. He's precious. I love the hymn, "O precious Jesus, I love thou art. Come and abiding rule in my heart. Precious to me." Here's the last thought tonight. The sadness of Christ's rejection. Why do people do it? Why does a sinner reject Christ? Friend, I haven't time to go into this tonight. Listen, do you remember the Bible tells us of the rich young man that came running down the dusty pathway to Jesus? And he asked the Lord Jesus, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Tell me, why did he go away? Because he had great possessions. Is that your problem? Do you remember Felix? Do you remember Felix sitting there with that woman at his side? And my, she was another man's wife. And as he sat there, and the servant of God testified of the grace of God in his life, and Paul was pleading with a soul. And Felix brought him back again to hear the message of his faith in Christ. And once again, Paul would plead with Felix's soul. And Felix said, "Go thy way for this time. Come back when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." Why did Felix reject the Son of God, friend? Because of pleasure. The pleasure of a sinful relationship. Do you remember Festus? In the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Why did Festus reject the Son of God, friend? Because of people. The fear of man. And to please the crowd, he left Paul bound. He knew he was innocent. He knew that Paul had not done the crimes and the charges that were laid against him. But friend, listen, to please the people. Is that why you're rejecting Christ tonight? Is that what you're going to hell for, friend? Possessions? Pleasure? Remember years ago, a young woman was sitting in one of the gospel meetings that Dr. Paisley held in the early days down the Ravenhill Road in the old Ravenhill Church, not the Martyrs Memorial, in the old Ravenhill Church. Gospel meeting was on and the power of God was in that meeting. There's a young woman going out through the door, a young teenage woman, her 18, 19 years of age, and she was going out and the tears were running down her cheeks as she thought of her need of God's salvation. But you see, the next week there was a dance and she wanted to go to the dance. Dr. Paisley saw the tears in her eyes and he spoke to her about God's salvation. She said to him these words. She said something like this, "Dr. Paisley, I'm only 19, I think it was. I'm only 19, Dr. Paisley.
surely God wouldn't cut me off. I'm only 19. And she's thinking about the dance. She walked out of that meeting rejecting the Son of God, friend. She lived in one of the wee two-bedroomed houses, just a very humble dwelling. And during that week, one evening, she was after her work, she was down scrubbing the wee entrance doorway, hallway. And she put the scrubber into the bucket and she was scrubbing the floor. And she put it into the bucket and then she would scrub the floor. Because the wee place, although it was a humble dwelling, was a wee palace. And she was scrubbing the floor and the mother heard her scrubbing away. And then all of a sudden she heard this noise. And the bucket scattered across the wee hallway. And the mother went out and her young daughter was lying dead. God's eternity. The Sunday before, she said, surely God wouldn't cut me off, Dr. Paisley. I'm only 19. 19. Why did you reject Christ, friend? Because of the dance. It was the price. See, that's what Agrippa was afraid of. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But the cost of following Jesus. Is that you, friend? Is it possessions? Is it pleasure? Is it people? Is it the price? Or lastly, is it pride? You won't humble yourself. No, no. You'll not admit you're a sinner. Not me, God. I was brought up in a good home. I've worked hard all my life. I've sacrificed to this day. And you'll talk about it and it's I. And you'll go to hell, friend, with your rotten, stinking pride. And when you get to hell, you'll realize you're alone in the darkness of a lost eternity. Think of the words again. Listen to it carefully. He came on to his own. But his own received him not. Asking your question through. Listen. Is that what the Holy Ghost will write over your tombstone, friend? Not matter what the preacher says. Is that the epitaph of God concerning your soul? But you received Christ not. You wouldn't break. And you'll go to hell with your pride. Religious pride. Self-righteous pride. Rather than bend the knee to Christ and receive him as your Savior. We sang the hymn, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice. And the chorus you sang tonight, friend, just before I preached was this. I am coming, Lord. And I'm coming now to thee. Wash me in your precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Oh, may God grant that that's a true statement. I am coming, Lord. Coming now. To thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word. We pray that thou wilt attend the ministry of thy word and song and preaching and the reading of thy word with salvation blessing. Let not men and women go away without you. Let them not presume they have another day, another meeting, another message. Because thy word says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend. Meeting will be over in a moment. Our sister will play just that little verse, just as I am, without one plea. As a little gospel invitation has been played. I'm giving a simple invitation to men and women in the gallery there, downstairs. I'm giving you a simple invitation to come to Jesus. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. Come and welcome to Jesus. I am coming, Lord. Is that your answer, friend? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you slip that hand toward heaven? Acknowledge, preacher, by the grace of God tonight I come. Lead me to Jesus. Just as I am. Is there someone tonight in this gathering? Come on, friend, I beg you in God's name. Don't play around. Take God seriously tonight. Take your soul serious tonight. Take your sin serious tonight. Take the day of God's judgment and God's wrath serious tonight. Is there someone before we close? Father, mother, son, or daughter, just lift that hand toward heaven. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Heavenly Father, speak to hearts. Please, God, break the hearts, the stubborn, rebellious heart of those that know thee not. Bring them to your feet in repentance, to faith in Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us not only tonight. Every day that dawns and every night that falls until the day breaks and earth's shadows flee away. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.